residing. Yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Now turn to page 240. Hark the herald angels sing, and we will sing all three verses.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, praise the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Filled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Blessed with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen.
Amen.
Good Christmas Eve morning. I miss singing in the choir. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this super special day that we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Welcome all you visitors.
Have them wave at
you. Oh, yeah. Judy says, have him wave. Okay, wave, please. Joey and Anya, I know some of you.
Linda.
Linda, what are you doing in the back?
She's
lost. Oh. I know, I'm not used to seeing her back there. Okay, y'all, don't forget to sign the pew pad and pass it along so we can be sure to get your information so we can have a chance to stay in touch with you. And also, if you have any prayer praises or concerns, the little blue slips that are in there, you fill that out. The first hymn that comes along, the ushers will pick it up, and then we'll be sharing those later. Any other things from you, Pastor Judy? Oh, of course. Of course about tonight, the Christmas Eve service. You know, I was away last week visiting my family in Brooklyn, And I got to go to the church where my family's going to now, and it's especially, I was telling one of the folks in the back, it's very family-oriented, and it was really neat because it's only a 45-minute service, and it's like 8:30 to whatever. But they didn't have anything like this. Yeah, I mean, this is just so awesome. And the workers that did this, it's such a gift to us. Like you guys, all of you guys that spend hours making this a place to glorify our Jesus Christ. And so join us tonight for just topping it all off. It's going to be great. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Okay. Any other announcements? Yes, Hans. Thank you, Hans. Okay, so we are going to start our prelude. And as the light of Christ is brought in, please prepare your worship through silent prayer. The opening, you can follow in your bulletin, please. Oh, yeah. Please stand. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy.
To us is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord.
This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace.
You may be seated for the lighting of the Advent candles. And Mike and Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Mike. No. Mike didn't bring his glasses, so I'm filling in. We light the Christ candle to symbolize God's promises fulfilled. One went out too. too short. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Glory to God
in the highest heaven, and peace of all on whom his favor rests. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 234. O Come All Ye Faithful, and we will sing verses 1 through 4.
Call to confession. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, the grace of God has appeared, bringing light to us all. With confidence and joy, let us confess our sin.
Our great and glorious God.
Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, you have shown us that the age of grace has appeared and the hope for time of salvation has come. Yet we cling to the glories of our world, worldly passions and impious pursuits, self-indulgent, crooked and ungodly ways. We choose to walk in darkness, unwilling to see the evil your light exposes in our very lives. Cleanse us and free us. Break the yoke we choose to carry through Christ who gave himself for us so that we might be your people, holy and whole. Amen.
Hear this good news of great joy. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. And now we invite all the children to come down to the front row, and Miss Paul has got a story for you. Come on down.
Yes, a whole row of them. Yeah. Okay. Okay, what's today? What? Christmas Eve. Sunday. Right? Okay. It's just kind of a special Sunday because it's Christmas Eve. Doesn't fall on Christmas. Christmas Eve doesn't fall on Sunday really very often, does it? So this is really kind of special. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, we have to have our joke. Y'all ready? Y'all look so pretty today. And handsome. Yes, you do. Before Santa Claus became Kris Kringle, like we know him now, did you know he used to be a farmer? You know how I know that? Because he likes to ho, ho, ho. Okay. My sons are back there. We're rolling. One of them's going like this, and the other one, his eyes are in the back of his head. Okay, my mother. Oh, no. Okay, now I got to put this thing on. Do y'all remember? Hold that for me just a second. Thank you. She's my helper. All right, do y'all remember Donnie the donkey? Okay. He's got a story for y'all. This is Donnie, in case you don't know. He is a donkey, and he's a very special donkey. And I'm Donnie, and I want to tell you about something really strange that happened. My master Joseph woke me up early one morning, and I could tell he was in a hurry for us to go someplace. And he packed me all down with bags of food. And then he brought his wife, Mary, out and placed her on my back, tried to get her all comfortable. And I thought, oh, I wonder where we're going. Well, you know, she wasn't real comfortable riding on my back, so I had to be really careful where I stepped so I wouldn't throw her off, you know, because she just kind of seemed miserable. I don't know what the problem was. Well, anyway, we traveled until it got really dark, and it was really late, and I was really tired. And Joseph had me stop at this inn. Well, they had a conversation there at the door, and I don't know what all they said, but anyway, Joseph led me to this great big barn. Oh, it had fresh hay in it. It was wonderful. It tasted so delicious. And I snuggled down in the hay, and I was just about asleep. It was so good. And there were other animals there. And we kind of visited a little bit, but I was really tired. I didn't want to visit too much because we had walked all day long. And so I was just about asleep, and I heard this strange sound. And I looked over there, and I thought, what is that that Mary's got? So I edged over closer to her, and I looked at her, and in her arms was this little human baby. Wow! A baby! This is neat. Well, I heard Mary call this baby Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, in a little while, a boy comes running into the barn, and he is looking around for this baby and saying all this stuff about this being a special baby and how cute this baby was. And I looked at that baby again, and I thought, well, he's not any cuter than I was when I was a colt. I don't know what they're talking about. Okay. Then, all of a sudden, there was this bright light, and there was all this noise and singing and shouting. And I looked up into the sky, and there was an angel all bright and just glowing. It was just wonderful. And I thought, wow, this must really be a special baby for this angel to be here. Then all of a sudden, there were 1,000 angels up there with that one angel. They were singing so loud. They were praising God, and they were saying glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And wow, I couldn't sleep after that. Well, I just want you to know that baby was really special. And I want you to understand just how special that baby was. All right. Let's have a prayer. Father God, please help us to remember that Jesus is truly the reason for the season. Amen. I got a treat for you.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 228. He is born. We'll sing all three verses.
He is born, the Holy Child. Play the hoboe and bagpipes merrily. He is born, the Holy Child. Sing we all of the Savior mild. Through long ages of the past, prophets have foretold his coming. Through long ages of the past, now the time has come at last. He is born, the Holy Child. Play the oboe and bagpipes merrily. He is born, the Holy Child. Sing we all of the Savior mild. Oh, how lovely, oh, how pure is this perfect child of heaven. Oh, how lovely, oh, how pure, gracious gift to humankind. He is born, the Holy Child. Play the oboe and bagpipes merrily. He is born, the Holy Child. Sing we all of the Savior mild. Jesus, Lord of all the earth, coming as a child among us. Jesus, Lord of all the earth, grant to us thy heavenly peace. He is born, the Holy Child. Play the oboe and bagpipes merrily. He is born, the Holy Child.
if you'll be ready for the intercessory prayer in your bulletin. But first, I'll share with you some concerns that you've shared this morning. The first is from Debbie Dalton, and she celebrates. Her daddy, who we've been praying for, is now in an assisted living. So, yay. Happy for that, Debbie. And she also shares that her neighbor Jereen, has cancer and is in hospice now. So, Lord, for Jereen, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Chuck Smith asks us to be in prayer for his niece, Jessica Compton, in San Angelo, who's been in ICU since Friday with double pneumonia. So for Jessica, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And our prodigals are home. Phil and Lisa are finally back. They have been off to Texas, and they are praising God that we have moved, the Texas house sold, that Lisa's knee surgery is progressing, that their daughter Jordan was here for early Christmas and is now off in Switzerland, no doubt on the slopes. So for Jordan, we pray for her travel mercies and for Lisa's continued healing. And praise God that they're finally home, H-O-M-E, home with us. So that's very, very good. And now, as we go into the our congregational intercessory prayer, reminding ourselves that there's so much that a praying people are called to be praying about. God of glory, by your grace, a child has been born for us, your son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and in his name we pray, Wonderful Counselor. We pray for wisdom for the world's leaders, that they may use their power to lift burdens and break the bonds of oppression for all their people. Mighty God, we pray for your church, that you will multiply and increase our joy as we share in the harvest you have gathered. Everlasting Father, we pray for people everywhere, that those who now walk in deep darkness may see the great light of your saving love. Prince of Peace, we pray for an end to violence and warfare, that your authority may continue to grow until there is endless peace in every land. And also at this time, we pray for all of those who will be traveling during these holiday days, that they will be safe. And so, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord of hosts, establish your holy kingdom for this time on and forevermore as we continue to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And at this time, we'll ask our ushers to come forward. Our invitation to the offering. Come, bring your first fruits with joy. Bring honor to God's name for the gift of his son, born to us that night. We give you thanks for the world wonder you have made. Forest and field, sea and sky, desert and snow, and especially for the gift of grace that you have given a little child lying in a manger. Receive these gifts of tenderness and love, of gratitude and praise from our hearts. Use them for your glory. In the name of Christ's gift, the child of Bethlehem, we pray. Amen. Thank you. The prayer for illumination. Loving God, by the gift of your Spirit, teach us, like Mary, to treasure your words and ponder them in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen.
You may be seated. And as you're being seated, I want to draw your attention to something. And that is that we have these beautiful new candles on the altar. Now, the significance of these is that these are liquid fuel candles, which means they're not going to burn down, and which means finally we can have that fan on. And that's important to keeping it cool up here, because the fan used to splash wax on the altar cloths. And those were donated to us by Paula Merrill. And thank you very much, Paula. We will benefit from this for a long time. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Well, worry, worry, worry. Worry about big things, worry about little things, worry about things in the past, worry about things in the future. Worry, worry, worry. We worry about our finances. We worry about our families. We worry about scenarios our unfettered imaginations simply create. Worry, worry, worry. Yet the scripture text today is full of admonitions to do not be afraid. Now, we're quick to use the Bible to shake it at somebody else when we think that they're doing something wrong, right? But yet, here it is, right in our faces, telling us today, do not be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Jesus must have stepped on lots of toes when he pronounced those words. He knew that some of his listeners, just like us, were inordinately anxious about material possessions, about the bottom line on their spreadsheets. Like our fear of terrorists, those early Jesus followers were fearful of those dreaded, powerful Roman occupiers. We can equate Peter's fears out on that stormy sea with our own fears of forest fires, hurricanes, and earthquakes. The rich man's self-centered worries about whether or not he was saved was quickly stuffed when he found out just how much it was going to cost him. Listen to Jesus' words to all who would listen. Why are you anxious? Jesus said. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? I can almost hear Jesus chuckling as he said those words. My guess is that there's a number of us in this room this morning who need to hear these words of God. You are literally worrying yourselves sick over fear of some situation over which you have no control or isn't even a real situation in your life yet. It's only a hand-wringing, oh, what if thought that keeps flashing through your mind. You need desperately to stop for a moment and consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and get God involved in all of this. You see, worry is a needless burden that keeps us from being all that God created us to be. You see, worry freezes us up. Worry makes us draw into the shell just like a turtle does. Worry is not based so much on the circumstances as it is on our inner condition. Now, that's not to minimize the real issues that some have going on, but it is to say, though, that often our worry reflects the condition of our soul more than it does our circumstances. Fear depends on what we have on the inside, more than what is confronting us on the outside. You know that's true when you think of little boy David and five little stones he took. That big old giant that was covered in armor, that was a huge thing that normally somebody would be afraid of. But not little boy David as he slung that sling and popped that giant right in the middle of the head. Listen to the scripture for this day. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. It was the sixth month. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a little town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was perplexed, the scripture said. What? What's happening? An angel? And the Lord is with me? And she thought, what is this greeting? The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary." I'm like, yeah, right, angel. Who gets an angel popping up in front of them? And then what the angel said was just really over the top. He proceeds to tell Mary that she's going to have a baby, going to tell him what the baby's name is, and says this. Talk about pressure. Talk about alternate reality. It says, the angel said, "He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is little nobody Mary, out in a tiny little village that was not even valued by anybody. And she's a woman on top of that. And this angel, that's a mind blower, starts telling her that her baby, that she didn't even know she was pregnant with, was going to be some kind of like king and thrones and overthrow and all this kind of stuff. And that angel had the nerve to say, "Don't be afraid." Now listen to what that little baby is going to say a few chapters later in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said to his disciples, this is verse 22 for those of you who are looking, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you're about your body or what you wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing." And then Jesus says, think about it. Think about the ravens. They don't even have storehouses to store up food. They don't have pantries. Think about the flowers out there in the field and Solomon and all of his riches that he had. He was nothing compared to the beauty of those lilies in the field. And then Jesus says, "Of how much more worth are you than those birds?" Verse 25, "And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" Verse 29, "Don't keep striving. Do not keep worrying." And finally in verse 32, "Do not be afraid." This is the word of Jesus to us today. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't do it. Quit. Stop. Don't do it anymore. 78 times in the Old Testament, 21 times in the New Testament, we hear, "Do not be afraid." The word of that audacious angel to Mary was, "Don't be afraid." The same word came to Joseph via an angel in a dream, "Do not be afraid." The same word came to Zechariah and Elizabeth, "Fear not," the angel said. The same word will ultimately come to shepherds in a field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. "Don't be afraid." Holy moly, y'all, the sky was full of angels singing. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angelic greeting comes with incredible monotony throughout the Advent story. The same greeting, the same command is repeated over and over and over. Fear not, as if we hard-headed humans just are having a hard time getting it. And the logical, sensible, responsible first century or 21st century response is, you gotta be kidding. Don't you know that nuclear war is a very real threat for us? Don't you know that this new tax bill threatens us with all of its unknowns? Don't you know? But it says, do not be afraid. The command sounds perfectly absurd. Mary had every reason to be afraid. Just imagine an angel. What? An angel? With words of unexpected, unplanned, socially destroying pregnancy. Just for a moment, put yourself in the place of an unwed teenager who hears the words, you're gonna have a baby! Oh no. What's Joseph gonna say? And are mom and dad gonna believe that? Yet we hear, do not be afraid. And of course, if Mary's really listening to these words, which we know she did because it says she ponders them in her heart, it's even more troubling than that. This is no ordinary pregnancy or ordinary baby. The angel goes on to say that the baby is to be the Son of God. Nobody in her neighborhood had that title. How would you like to take on that kind of surrogate parenting? You're going to got to raise the Son of God. And if she's still listening, this child is coming for nothing less than taking over the throne of David. What's that going to mean? Challenging the powers that be, confronting the values and standards of his day, bringing in the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, this angelic visitation doesn't look and sound so much like a sentimental Hallmark greeting card. It sounds like the overwhelming challenge of many lifetimes. And she had every right to be afraid, and so she was. And of course, so are we. So we wring our hands. We wring our hands over what our imaginations say might happen. And yet the message still comes. Do not be afraid. It's in the book. Do not be afraid. It's the most common commandment in the Bible, heard every time God's word comes to God's people. From wandering Old Testament Israelites to doubting New Testament disciples, the word comes, fear not. The repetition of the command, do not fear, throughout the Bible gets boldly in our face, asking us, well, do you believe what's in the book or not? The angel Gabriel gives us one reason why not to be afraid. He said, Mary, don't be afraid. Why? Because God is with you. Now you take that home and insert your name in Mary's place. Do not be afraid because God is with you. The antidote to fear begins with faith in the God of the ages, who is actively involved and ever present in our lives. The Apostle Paul gives a reason for not fearing. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that God works in all things, not just some things, God works in all things for good for those who love him. Apparently, in the midst of whatever life may bring, God is at work for good in the lives of God's people. So what we need to do is put on a new kind of filter over our eyes and ears and look for and expect to find that good that is in our lives. How about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? We learn of God busy making our paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's really a pretty Methodist statement. Because we believe that God is going before us, always preparing the way. And here we have it. God is making straight that path in front of us. So then, why are we so afraid? Why do we just wallow in it like an old hound with a dirty bone? We do that, don't we? Ooh. If we don't have something to worry about, we make up something to worry about. Oh, I can do that. I could just get to spinning these scenarios in my head about this or that or the other happening to my daughter or my grandkids. It's not even real. I have no reason to think those thoughts. I have to tell them to go away. God is or is not still present or active in the world. Now make your choice. Now, I admit, you're going to have to probably make that choice again several times a day because we are humans and we're working on this. We need to make up our minds. If we are being told to not be afraid, then apparently we have the capacity to not be afraid. Do you ever think about tapping into that? When that fear pops up, say, no, I'm not going there. And then think happy thoughts. Rejoice. Be thankful. Be grateful. We are not a victim or hostage to fears. We don't have to stay there. It's a choice. We have the ability to stare it in the face and scatter it in the name of Jesus. Another reason to not be a fear-filled worrier is that God keeps God's promises. The angel said to Mary in verse 37, no word from God will ever fail. Slap that one in the devil's face. How about that? Faith for a time of fear looks beyond the immediate and claims God's promises. Life's not so scary. When you know what you know, when you know the end of the story, we know God's promises that one day the lion will lay down with a lamb and a little child will lead them. That's in both Isaiah 11 and 64. We know that one day they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they study war anymore. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. We know that one day God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it all the time, don't we? That one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, our Creator and Redeemer. That's Romans 14, verse 11. To the shepherds, the angels sang, do not be afraid. To the women at the tomb, the angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because the fearsome things do not have the last word. Do not be afraid. In this day and time of great fear, oh my goodness, our country is wallowing in fear on every level. In this time of great fear, listen to the word of the angel. Do not be afraid, because God is with you. The same God who makes the way straight. This same God who makes good out of anything. Don't be afraid, because the Savior will come. God keeps God's promises. And in the end, the fearsome things do not have the last word. Mary, don't be afraid. Mary, fear not. The Savior will come. People of God, fear not. God comes. God is with us forever, no matter the circumstances in our lives. Amen. Let's sing. Joseph, dearest, Joseph, mind. It's in the little black Faith We Sing book, 2099.
Joseph, dearest Joseph mine, help me cradle the child divine. God reward thee and all that's thine in paradise. So praise the Mother Mary. He came upon us at Christmas time, at Christmas time in Bethlehem. Let us bring him love's diadem. Jesus, Jesus, lo, he comes and loves and saves and frees us. Gladly, dear one, lady mine, help I cradle this child of thine. God's own light on us both shall shine in paradise. So at Christmas time, at Christmas time in Bethlehem. Let us bring him from far and wide, love's diadem. Jesus, Jesus, lo, he comes and loves and saves and frees us. All shall come and bow, wise and happy their soul shall be, loving such a divinity in all may see, in Jesus, Son of Mary. He came among us at Christmas time in Bethlehem. Let us bring him from far and wide, love's diadem. Jesus, Jesus, though he comes and loves and saves and frees us.
Verse 4, O come, Emmanuel.
Silent fall. Rejoice.